Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I am one of your hosts, Sam Rainer. I've got the other
Silent Night.
It is the Christmas episode. Christmas Eve episode. And let me introduce the man who should never sing again, my father, Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
And go into the conversation that Amy J. led right before we hit the record button about Christmas Eve service. Just jump into it.
You just want to lead with that?
Well, let's just talk about it. I mean, we haven't even talked about our sponsor or anything else, but let's lead with that. It's fascinating.
All right.
It's fascinating.
We're talking about traditional Christmas Eve services on this episode.
Yes.
And Amy brought up a wonderful point that at the time of this recording, we had not quite solved. So maybe by the time we hit Christmas Eve, churches will solve this problem. Most churches have candlelight at their, a candlelight service at the Christmas Eve service. How, given COVID and some of the restrictions and people wanting to be safe, how do you blow out the candle?
If you're wearing a mask.
If you're wearing a mask, especially, how do you blow out the candle? Are we just going to burn forever and bright? I mean, is the wax just going to go everywhere because people can't blow out the candles? I mean.
And her church actually did a test of this in October where they tried to blow out candles with mask on and they failed.
Yeah. So listeners, if you have a solution to this, we would love to hear from you. In fact, if you email Amy at churchanswers.com.
Because it's her idea.
This is her idea. So she's going to have to run with it. We're going to send you a free book. So the person who comes up with the best idea, we'll send you a free book.
Anatomy of a Revived Church so you can revive your church in 2021.
Anatomy of a Revived Church. We'll send you that one. So email Amy, A-M-Y, at churchanswers.com and give us a solution to this. We talked for a couple of minutes before this episode started recording. We could not figure out a solution. How do you blow out the candle with a mask on? What do you do? Get creative. Do something. Some of you don't send Amy an email that just says, "Well, just take the mask off." Well, that's obvious. Don't do that.
But you're going to be spreading COVID.
We want creative solutions.
And by the way, it's not just blowing out the candle; it's extinguishing the candle. You remember when I did that? When I was a pastor, I said, "You may now extinguish your candle."
Which you did, and I still laugh about this because it's the way you said it, and I won't do it justice. Yeah, you were an interim pastor. I was there. I was, I think, dating now my wife at the time.
Yes, First Baptist Mount Washington.
First Baptist Mount Washington. You said you may now extinguish the flame.
and I saw three Raider boys just start dying laughing.
You were trying to be serious. It's a traditional service, trying to, very formal. It was good. But that's how you ended it. Everyone, you may now extinguish the flame.
This is so corny.
So listeners, how do you extinguish the flame?
Yes.
With a mask on? What do you do? How do you do that?
Amy at churchanswers.com.
Amy at churchanswers.com. Give us a solution. We'll send you a free book to the most creative one.
We may send two or three if we get really generous.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Hey, we need to talk about Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Great, great institution. They exist to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. The school offers more than 40 different degree programs, including this 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. We love that one because it is in partnership with us at Church Answers and Revitalize Network. We are also partnering with Southeastern to make available for free a new ebook, How Your Church Can Reach People in a Post-COVID World. New,
really
free.
Really good book.
Excited about it. I think someone on this, one of the hosts wrote it. So got to go check it out. Learn more about both of these offerings by going to sebts.edu. Again, that's sebts.edu. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. All right, let's talk.
We got the direct link also to the ebook as well.
There you go. Yeah, check the show notes. Go to churchanswers.com, check the show notes under the blogs, and give us a look. You can get that free ebook right there.
Christmas Eve.
I love Christmas Eve services. Absolutely love. This is one of my favorite services of the year.
And here's the reality. Easter used to be the big service. Christmas Eve is now the big service, especially for those who don't attend church regularly.
Yes, Easter is when all of your people who go to your church come all at the same time. Now, you'll have guests on Easter too, of course. Christmas Eve is where the community shows up. So it is a wonderful service for outreach. Dad, I will say half of our attendance on Christmas Eve, and we have multiple Christmas Eve services, half are guests. Half of the people from the community.
I believe it. There's still a healthy respect for the Christmas season. Even from those who are not Christians, there is this respect for the Christmas season. And it may be tied, and we'll be getting to nostalgia in just a moment. It may be tied to nostalgia. It may be tied to what your family used to do, which is a form of nostalgia. But boy, it is, you're right. If you know, I've heard of some churches say we're going to give the staff time off during Christmas Eve.
No. Do not do that. This is your opportunity. Okay, so let's think about this. This is a win for any and every church, no matter what size you are.
Exactly.
This is a win. You're going to have guests. People are expecting a bit more of a traditional service. So you, I mean, it's an easy win for the church. Do not take Christmas Eve off. You go all in with Christmas Eve. But I might be a little opinionated about that.
You're pretty opinionated almost about anything.
So. I have lots of opinions, Dad, and I'm glad to share them.
Yes, you do. Nostalgia, Sam. That is so much of the emotion that surrounds the holidays, but particularly Christmas Eve. And we talked about that drawing people there.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, right around that time, people are thinking with nostalgia. And so play into that. This is nostalgia. Sometimes when you talk about the established church or church health, you know, nostalgia gets a bad rap as if it holds you back. Nostalgia is a neutral effect. It's all what you do with it. In this case, though, you can use nostalgia to reach people in your community. You can use nostalgia to share the gospel. You know, this is a very powerful emotion that will work in your favor right around the holidays.
Yeah, and we've had people visit churches, and we've had testimonies of it where people came and said, I just was going to go there because it was the thing to do. I want to take my kids before we put them to bed for Christmas morning. And they said something happened, and they talk about being impacted by the Holy Spirit and by the gospel. And so, again, what an incredible opportunity that no church should exclude. I would say for the most part, there would always be exceptions, that people who come to a Christmas Eve service are expecting traditional.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to get funky, different, quirky, odd. Just do what is expected in this case. I would say the vast majority of people are expecting a traditional service, which means the thing about traditional services is you can do them with limited volunteers. This is not something that is, you know, volunteer intensive. Now, some churches may want to have a choir or something like that that may require more volunteers, but you don't have to do that. You can pretty much, if you have a church staff or key volunteers, if you don't have a church staff, you can pretty much get this done, a Christmas Eve service with, I mean, you can really do it with about four or five people, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot of work. So hey, I would say invest heavily here.
I wonder if you could do it with the pastor only, because I remember you in your first church and you tried to lead music, and you dissed me at the beginning of this for my singing. I heard your singing at the Church of First Herbie.
Right.
You waved your hands as if you were leading on beat or off beat, but you were neither. And it was pathetic.
Pathetic's a fine word for what I was trying to do, but we didn't have anybody else. And so for our listeners, we were a smaller church. We started with six people. Now we grew to like 36. So what's that, 600% growth that, you know, you can claim on your resume?
Do the percentage growth on physics.
So yeah, we grew by 600%. I mean, I did a lot of the stuff. They expected the pastor to lead the worship service as well, which I did through a karaoke machine. By the way, when you're looking at the time, it was CDs. So when you're looking for karaoke CDs that have hymns, they're really hard to find.
Well, I didn't recognize what you were singing anyway, so it was a moot point.
I think that they were just glad to have somebody up there, obviously, because that, you know, I was what they got.
So one thing that we could say for most churches, you don't have to introduce new music. In fact, you probably shouldn't introduce new music.
It's not the time. It's not the time to do something different. Just do what people expect. Community expects it. Your church expects it. Roll with the flow and have a good time with it.
How long is your Christmas Eve service?
45 minutes.
Hours is about the same, 40, 45 minutes.
And I would not go much longer.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to do 30, but you don't want to hit 60 because most of the time the kids are going to be in there.
Some larger churches may have childcare. I don't even think we provide anything on Christmas Eve. So you're going to have babies in there and stuff, and kids are going to get restless. 30 to 45 minutes is really all you need to do.
All right. The candlelight service. We started the podcast reflecting upon Amy's words about her church, where the staff tried an experiment where they tried to blow out the candle. They tried to, let's say, extinguish the flame with a mask on, and they failed. And so now we're talking about candlelight services. But here's what we know. This is one thing we do know. This is an area where every demographic age group says we like it.
It's a win.
The kids like it because they can burn the pews. The older adults like it because it's part of their memory. The middle adults like it because it is part of their heritage. So everybody likes the candlelight service.
So I have a story about there was a family, not at my current church, it was a previous church where I served, and the brother and sister were always going at it. They were younger, probably 7 and 9 or something like that. And they were always picking at each other. It was during the candlelight service that the brother decided to light the hair on fire of his sister. That's what I'm trying to say. And I remember the commotion, the padding. I thought that, somebody was slain in the spirit or something like that. And then I smelled the hair, and it's not a pleasant smell at all. But that's a memory that stands out in my mind, is the time little brother set older sister's hair on fire. Not my kids, by the way. It was somebody else's children.
I hope no one was injured.
No. We got a good laugh afterwards.
I'm glad, Will. Candlelight services are popular. They're part of the tradition. We're going back to nostalgia. We're going back to the traditional service. And it is now expected in most churches. And I think for the most part, participants coming to a Christmas Eve service will be disappointed if they don't get to hold a candle.
There was one year where we discussed at West Bradenton not doing a candlelight service. And I forget the reason why. It may have been because we had just renovated our worship space and we were worried about wax drippings on the carpet and stuff like that. Let me finish. Okay. And that's the reaction that we got. And we all agreed, like, we have to do candlelight service from here on out. I love it personally. I'm a fan. If I go to a Christmas Eve service, granted, I'm doing the one at my church, but if I were ever to go to a Christmas Eve service just as somebody from the community and attending and it wasn't candlelight, yeah, I would be disappointed. I don't know that I would boo in the service, but I would be very disappointed. So do the candlelight thing.
Yeah. And help us to know how to do the extinguishing of the flame.
Again, just like we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, email Amy, amy@churchanswers.com, and give us a creative idea for extinguishing the flame with a mask on. And again, we bonus points for creativity. I'll just say that. We're looking for
little side note here. We're not looking for the mask or no mask debate.
No, don't do that. That's not the point.
Wearing masks, how can you put the flame?
Right. If your church is, Kevin's making gestures that I'm not sure that we want to give it away. If your church, a lot of churches, people will be wearing masks, just the way the community is. This is not about the debate at all. It's just about getting creative. What do you do? How do you fix that?
And the point is also, Sam, if they're not wearing masks, should everybody be going at one time?
Probably not.
Not in a COVID environment. So even without masks, do you pass the bucket of water down the aisle?
Well, let's not give our listeners any ideas. I really want them to be as creative as they can be with this.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. You brought this point up earlier, but I want you to emphasize it a little more. Any church can do a traditional Christmas Eve service.
Right. Again, I understand that traditional services can be complex and big and have a lot of moving parts. You know, if you have a choir and an orchestra every week, you know, that's a massive administrative task. So we're not saying traditional is easy. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that traditional is attainable for a lot of churches. Even if it's one person leading hymns, it can be done. It's a kind of service that can be done minimalistically. And I think that's important because sometimes finding volunteers on Christmas Eve can be difficult. I know as a pastor, there have been years where, for whatever reason, people just didn't want to volunteer. They wanted to attend. So we have...
That's totally good. You want to be with your family. That's part of the...
Of course. Tradition. Yeah. I don't think poorly of that at all. So what we've done is we've minimized the volunteer effort. We have minimized the scale of the service. We've stripped it back. It's very traditional. And, I think a lot of people have liked it. So this is something any church can do, and it can be a win for every church in just about every community.
And every time I have been to West Bradenton or your previous churches, or that I have been to the church at Spring Hill where Jess, your younger brother, is pastor, y'all always share the gospel. You know that there are people who don't know Christ. You strongly suspect it, I would say.
And especially on a Christmas Eve service,
yes. So you always do.
So I'm going to show my theological cards here. I share the gospel every time I preach, whether it's a funeral, a Sunday morning sermon, a Wednesday night lesson. I'm a gospel believing preacher. So every time I have a chance, I'm going to share who Christ is, what he has done on our behalf, and how you can be saved. That's just my theological bent. That being said,
I'm pretty well with the Bible, so I'm proud of you.
Well, we have a broad base of listeners. I just want everyone to know where I'm coming from. That being said, if you neglect the gospel on Christmas Eve of all times, when you're talking about the birth of Christ, I think you've kind of missed the point of the story in the Bible. So
why did Christ come incarnate?
Why did he?
Just a story about in a crib or in a manger. It was about a man who lived, a man who was perfect, sinless, a man who died, who went to a cross, who resurrected.
Emmanuel, God with us. Like, exactly. This is the opportunity to share the story of Jesus. And, you know, I would make that the centerpiece of the service. So as you do these traditional elements, these classic elements, as you do the candlelight's important. All of those things are important. But the centerpiece.
Extinguish the flame.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to put out the Holy Spirit. As you create the service and craft the service, make the key part, make the centerpiece, the gospel presentation, because you are going to have a bunch of people from the community there. And while some of them may be believers, I would venture a guess that many of them, if not most of them, are not. So this is your chance to really share with your community who Jesus is, which is why churches exist in the first place. Don't neglect the gospel. Make sure that you give a very clear gospel presentation at Christmas Eve services.
As a little bonus to this, and here are the points that we've shared thus far, you'll likely have more guests on Christmas Eve than any other service, particularly non-believing guests. Secondly, nostalgia is a powerful emotion that you can use in a sanctified way to see people come. The community's expecting a traditional service, like candlelight. Any church can do this traditional Christmas Eve, and you always share the gospel. One little bonus, however you get the word out about your church, whether word of mouth, whether social media, whatever it may be, this is a time to put a significant emphasis on it. And if you do Facebook ads and you target the zip code where your church is, do more than usual and tell them that you have this Christmas Eve service and when the times are and a little bit of information. So this is one of the most important times in the life cycle of a church because you have a lot of people that will come, and probably many of those who don't know Christ.
So you know, if I had to choose, between investing, advertising, an Easter or Christmas Eve, now I need to do both. But if I had to choose, if somebody made me choose, well, you can do either Easter or Christmas Eve, I would choose Christmas Eve.
I totally agree. And I would do the same. Well, Sam, I hope this is helpful. We're airing it just 3 days before, 2 days before Christmas Eve. And so there's still a little opportunity to get some quick Facebook ads out, for example, even this close to it.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this a day or two or three before your Christmas Eve service, Facebook makes advertising fairly easy. Go put a graphic out there, you know, slap a time and a location on it and get some extra people to attend. That will do.
We also want to thank our sponsor, PushPay. They have a new tool called Church Stack. That's CHURCHSTAQ, Church Stack. And they're growing generosity and they're connecting it and engaging with your congregants both in person and online. Helps manage systems and processes. We love our friends at PushPay. So look at that new tool. I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, go to PushPay and check out Church Stack, STAQ. Really neat, innovative tool. PushPay is known for all this stuff, right? I mean, they're at the forefront. I mean, quite innovative in everything that they do. And probably, you know, something every church should go look at. So go check out PushPay.
I love it. Thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to our podcast. And from all of us at Rainer on Leadership, on behalf of Brian, Kevin, Amy, Sam, and Tom, did you notice I didn't say "and myself," which would be an improper use of reflexive pronoun. I just said "and Tom."
You know, yes, subjective, objective, reflexive pronouns. I've learned from you.
Yep. Don't use that "myself" incorrectly. So thank you for being here. We want to wish you an incredible Christmas, a God gospel-centered Christmas. And I pray that your Christmas Eve service will be a blessing, not only to you and your members, but to the entire community. We'll see you. It won't be that much longer, for 2021 is here. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to talk about being jinxed in 2020, but I'm ready for 2021. So we'll look forward to seeing you soon. We have one more time that we're going to be on Rainer on Leadership in 2020, talking about the new year coming up. But until then, continue to join us at Church Answers at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.